Welcome everyone, my name is Joel Wright and I am the host of Devon Dies the Podcast, and this is episode 42 and it's the Christmas party show. Everyone's excited. Joining me on tonight's podcast, live from his building site he calls a home, it's
Sam Freeman.
Yay. And also, second appearance this year, might be your third stand in the way Tom's going, is
Dr. Lewis Jones.
It is Dr. Lewis Jones. Hooray. Welcome, gentlemen.
Yeah. Hi. Oh. How's it going?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while since we done a podcast. I do apologise to our listeners if you're all a bit frustrated that there's not been one out since the Essen show, which Lewis last starred in as well. It's just been manic. Me and Sam, we did try and get together, didn't we? Beginning of the month.
Oh, it was a pain in the neck. So much stuff going on. It was ridiculous.
Sickness and work and sickness and more work. And it was just this, yeah. We were nearly there, and then it just didn't happen again, didn't it?
We're on the slowdown towards Christmas now, though, so it's getting a little bit more manageable.
That's it. Well, I'm off now.
And for a change, it's only my missus who's sick as a dog. So I'm in my office, come second bedroom, staying away from the plague carrier.
That's what I've been doing as well. My wife's been sick for ages and I'm just like, I'm sleeping on the sofa tonight, I'm not joining that plagued room. So and the kids are all sick and it's just like, stay away, don't hug me, don't want to have your lurgy. So but
yeah,
hopefully we're on the mend for Christmas.
I just get lots of lurgies at work every day. That's
you're probably just immune
iron constitution.
You just kind of cough them into a petri dish and then look at them under a microscope. I guess that's presumably
exactly
your job.
Yeah. Excellent. Save them for later. Get them out again.
Ring that handkerchief.
Yeah.
Anyway, on today's show, we're doing anything at all. We're just talking about whatever comes to mind, but we are going to do a bit of news and a bit of catch up. But as always, thanks goes to the show sponsor, meeplescorner.co.uk.
Definitely. So just to catch up with stuff, if you haven't seen it, know about it, then you should check out Lewis's Flick 'em Up Dead of Winter review that he done for us. It's not a shining example, but it's a good read.
Not my most complimentary work, but I've tried to be fair.
Very fair. To what you've told me, I haven't actually played it yet, disappointingly. What you've told me of it sounds pretty much like Flick 'em Up, the game. But
yeah,
dead of winter stuff going on, so slightly.
Yeah. I mean, I think the really great innovation to it is that zombie tower, which means that you can play it as a fully cooperative game, and I think that is something that nothing else in that particular sort of genre is doing at the moment, and that gives it a certain amount of appeal. You just have to put up with everything else. That's the problem with it.
So, yeah. And a big thanks to Sam for pointing me to a cheap hosting site for the blog, because it was coming up for renewal, and we've now been signed up for another 3 years. So that's another 3 years of content to hopefully come.
So, it wasn't necessarily cheaper, but it's certainly better.
Oh, it was cheaper than what I was already on. Yeah, I mean,
oh my God.
They actually billed me for the next one, which I'm hopefully getting a refund back. And it's basically the same price 1 year for 3 years, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
Gosh.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3 suck. They're not a show sponsor, in case you couldn't tell.
No. Every time I say...
You've got a bit of a cough there, Sam.
Sorry.
Every time, Sam, I got trouble with the site. He's like, where do I need to go? I said, 1, 2, 3. He's like, oh, great. Please change.
Yeah. I mean, one of the worst things I find with them, not to get into sort of like my day job, but they, if you ever try and transfer a domain name you've registered with 123Reg away to a different registrar, so like GoDaddy or something, they charge you £10 for the privilege of doing that, and no other registrar that I know of does that. So
GoDaddy charge me.
What, to transfer away from GoDaddy?
Yeah, 2123.
Oh, really? She went from the frying pan into the fire, quite literally.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Never mind. Anyway, let's get off of that. That's boring. Anyway, so what news have we got then, Sam?
Yeah. So only a little bit of news, but we've got a little bit of like-minded news potentially, but we have a proper shop that has just opened, not only in Exeter, but within a stone's throw of my house. So on my walk into work every day now, I'll be walking past a game shop called nice. Sword and Board. They've literally just opened up in the old NatWest building in Heavertree. So it's right on the high street of Heavertree, or high street, isn't it? High street, the main road of Heavertree. And I popped in there tonight for the first time, actually. Met Rhiannon, the owner of the shop. Lovely lady. And they've got a nice little selection of board games there. They're also sort of doing, they've got like an area for RPGs, an area for miniatures. They've got some tables for some gaming. And they've also got two Geek and Son private rooms that you can hire, which is pretty damn cool. So they've got the big Dennis tables from Geek and Son. So they're really smart with, you know, cup holders and all that stuff.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Customized, you know, the felt table topper thing that you get in them. They've got that all customized with their logo and name and stuff. Looks really smart.
Cool.
So yeah, we're looking forward to that. I think they're planning on charging £20 for 4 hours to hire the room, and that's for as many people as you want to cram in there. Basically, hire the room, so it's per room, not per person. So
that's not bad, actually, is it?
Well, no, four if you go in there, that's £5 in that person.
Yeah.
So you know, I think you can use games from their library if you want to, or you can take your own stuff. So it's like, I'm thinking, Rhiannon herself, Ree for short. Hi, Ree. I did tell her about the podcast, so I'm giving you a shout out. But the
maybe she could start playing it on like on the sat loudspeakers in the shop all the time.
Yeah, it's like on loops. Yeah, just going, hi, Ree.
We'll be the Muzak.
Yeah. Just wait for Joel to put a little bit of a music overlay to that bit. She'll be well away. But the I did. She's a big Firefly the game fan as well. So I was saying I'd have to take my Firefly over, and it's just such a massive table full of game stuff now. That, I think that or doing Gloomhaven or something in the shop would be really good, because actually it's got a nice big size table, and it would be a really cool atmosphere to do it in. So anyway, it's anyone who's in Exeter, it's well worth going by.
So what sort of stuff are they specialising in? Because there's that Guild of Gamers in Torquay, isn't there? But they very much are about their sort of miniature gaming, and then the board game was always a little bit on the side.
It's not fully stocked yet, I don't think, but they've got like half the shop is kind of board games, so they've got a good range of all the good recent stuff. So you know, you've got like Charterstone and all that sort of stuff. You know, Azul's there and that sort of thing. And then they've also got a couple of shelves with RPG books. So one side of which is sort of D&D books, and then the other side is kind of other RPG systems. And then they've got like a miniatures area and some sort of paints and stuff like that. So it's a little bit of all sorts, really. So then she's not limited it to kind of one angle of gaming or the other. It's just a little pick and mix of all sorts. So and I think they're going to get more stuff.
You have
in
to diversify, don't you?
Yeah, and it's kind of appealing to everybody. And I think the half of the thing they want to do with the Geek and Son rooms I was telling you about, one's going to be a fairly generic kind of board gaming room or general gaming room. They're going to decorate it and make it look nice. The other side is going to be a sort of RPG special type one. So they're going to get the RPG attachments for the table and everything, so you can get like the DM station and all that sort of stuff. So it'll be
kind of cool.
You can still play board games and stuff in there, but it would be you know, it'll be like the one that they'd put the RPG people in if you wanted to do it and have a cool sort of environment. It'll be sort of decked out as like a fantasy tavern kind of thing is the idea. So it all sounds pretty cool, and
I've never done RPGing.
Have you not?
I've never done RPGing, but it's always something that looks like it would appeal, but
I've never had the time and
energy.
Well, I've started DMing the starter kit with some friends, but we've only managed, as with all campaign things at the moment for me this year, it's just impossible to organise. But I've done, I think, 3 sessions of the starter kit for D&D 5th edition. That's been a lot of fun, actually. I've enjoyed that. It's just trying to do it regularly is just a pain in the neck.
Yeah, that's
it's literally
that's
a whole day.
Really? Oh, gosh.
Yeah, well, half a day at least. You know, you want to be doing sort of 5-6 hours at least, or it's not really worth bothering.
Yeah, that's tough to organise, that is, with kids and other bits, isn't it?
Yes. Cool.
My kids are old enough and can just DM for them or something.
Did no one else hear that?
No.
Okay, no, that was a slightly weird noise that came over. Okay. Anyway.
Monsters in the ether.
It's too late for the Halloween issue.
The ghost is going up and down the clacks.
No, I just heard a really weird noise over the headphones. So in my news, apparently me and Lewis have got a game shop open up in our neck of the woods, kind of, around us, in Ivy Bridge. A Rachel Taylor contacted us over the Facebook page, saying that she's opened up a space in the Clay Factory Red Lake Trading Estate, just outside of Ivy Bridge, where, again, it's going to be gaming space, games workshop, board games, little shop, and lots of other stuff. I'm just trying to go through. Little cafe going on, library of games. And she'll be selling everything from Magic, Pokemon, Games Workshop, Euro Games, D&D, and God knows what else. She's got putting all her fingers in one pie at the minute. So we're seeing what sticks, I reckon. But that'd be interesting.
Sounds good. I'm a little bit concerned, though, because, I mean, none of these places make a huge amount of money, do they? And the more that open up, that's just kind of diluting down the profits a little bit, isn't it? You just wonder.
Well,
we're going to reach a saturation point.
I don't know how or where it's going to work out there. I mean, being where it is, it's literally off the beaten track. So it'd be difficult. Well, yeah, I mean, I had to drive to get there. Kids won't be able to wander in and pick up their local supply of Pokemon cards or Magic cards just like that. Will people find it when it's out there? She'll have to do a lot of advertising and that to make people aware that there's something there.
Maybe get some sort of big online presence as well, maybe.
Well, yeah. That's the answer. So I hope it works out for her. She said she was hoping to be open for Christmas. But that's all I've heard of.
She's cutting a bit fine.
Yeah. I'm hoping to do a drive-by and see how it's going. It's cool.
That's the other thing as well. Like just after Christmas, is that a good time to open a shop? Because I think. But anyway, I'm sure she'll do grand.
Hopefully. Go on then, Sam.
Is it me again?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Sorry. So the next bit, the last bit for me is a game I've been looking forward to for a couple of years, or since it was announced a couple of years ago. So not like it was due in 2015 or anything. But it's a game called Victorian Masterminds by Antoine Bowser and Eric Lang. It was meant to be published by Space Cowboys, potentially either this year, which definitely isn't going to happen now, or next year. And I don't know if the rights to it or whatever has happened, but Simon, Cool Me and You're Not, are now going to be publishing that game next year, which is interesting. For those that don't know, Victorian Masterminds is a game where you are all evil geniuses in Victorian London, and Sherlock Holmes has disappeared, so you're trying to make hay while the sun shines and take over the city and get your nefarious plans into action by building these big contraptions and taking over the place. So it just sounds like a lot of fun. All the kind of artwork, sort of loosely the artwork that's been shown off, and the component stuff that's been shown off in a prototype form, has all looked very cool. And the fact that it's Antoine Bowser and Eric Lang, two of my personal favorite designers, piqued my interest years ago. And the fact that it's got asymmetric gameplay and it's all very sort of thematic, just kind of had me piqued. And the fact that it's now definitely going to get published, not only next year but by Simon as well, that's pretty cool.
Interesting.
Anyone seen that before?
I've heard of it.
It sounds very interesting.
I think it's been on one of, like, when we've done anticipated games show.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. It would definitely have been in one of my first ones. It was, I love Antoine Bowser's game design, certainly his earlier ones anyway, not so much a couple of the later ones, but and Eric Lang's kind of everything he touches at the moment seems to turn to gold. So for those two to work together, I was always interested.
Almost.
Almost. But the, it's an actual fit with Eric Lang being the head of game design or whatever at CMON at the moment. Mm. And I think it sounds like Space Cowboys maybe just went, we don't know if we're going to put this on our slate. And Eric Lang just went, screw it, I'll put it on CMON's then. It seems like a natural kind of thing, doesn't it?
I am head of design, and today we're doing my games.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome news. So, I don't know. That's basically it then. So, what else we got to talk about?
Well, hang on. I got news.
Oh, go on. You got news?
He's done some Googling.
Has he?
No, but it's not news for anyone apart from me, and it's my copy of Gloomhaven arrived today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's quite... Did anyone follow the debacle on Kickstarter?
Oh, yes. Go on, then. Yes.
So, so we kind of got this sort of backer email sort of or update going, and all the EU shipments are done. And then the comments section kind of exploded with just about almost every UK backer coming in with, what? I haven't got mine. And then they turned out there was about 450 games that they had inadvertently not shipped. And so there was another couple of weeks delay while that was sort of found out their big error. And there was all sorts of amusing comments with sort of hashtag justice for the 400 and things like that coming up on the comments.
First world problems.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh no, my £100 game hasn't arrived.
Gloomhaven. Yeah. A lot of people taking their Gloomhaven very seriously. But that's one of my favourite parts of Kickstarter, though, is just sitting quietly reading the comments of people going absolutely mental because their delivery is 30 seconds late.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. Like, what did you expect? Like, you packed it before the files were even in the printer and you expected, yes, somehow it was going to turn up in 2 months' time. Like, of course that wasn't going to happen. Like, don't get upset about it now. And then people always like throwing their toys at the pram. Well, I'm sure to get a refund then. I'm sure to get a refund. It's like, no, you're not. Like, just be quiet, be patient. All is going to be well. It's fine.
I've been waiting 4 years for a coffee machine, so they can bloody well wait 2 months for a game.
That better be a bloody good coffee afterwards.
Oh, it was meant
that's going to be a kick-ass coffee.
You can imagine it. It's like that someone would be stood in the warehouse on the phone to is it Clarpy Games? I think it is that do it. And saying, oh yeah, we've shipped it all out. All the UK ones are done. And behind them is like big stacks of Gloomhaven boxes. Yeah. And they'd be like, the boss is like, well, those? No, there's nothing there. Don't worry about that. It's like,
No, I can see behind you on Skype. There's about 450 boxes. No, nothing there. Nothing to see. How do you turn the camera off? it was Happy Shops. If anyone's interested, that was the distributor in Europe.
They screwed up my Sakura delivery as well recently. So
did they? Well, yeah. I think so. I've had my last three Kickstarter dispatches have been from them, and they've literally sort of arrived off the boat and then been processed within a week, and then arrived on my, I've got a tracking email, then they arrived at my door within sort of 3 days, and so I always thought they were really, really good. And when I heard that they were doing the Gloomhaven one, I was like, oh, result. But then the last couple, which was 878 Vikings and Gloomhaven, they just seem to have completely dropped the ball. I think they started off getting a good reputation and then essentially just overbooked themselves. And now they just, and then obviously Kickstarter, distributions don't run on time. Something's always late. So things sort of clash into other things despite their perfect German timetabling. And I think they just ended up with about four or five massive Kickstarters all at the same time and bit off more they could chew, and it's probably going to do them their reputation a bit of damage, I think.
It's that rings a bell. Who are they called? Happy Shopper?
Happy Shops.
Happy Shops.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're the same people that did the Scythe delivery.
Yes.
Probably were.
Oh, yeah, you put Happy Shops in. It comes with Gloomhaven.
Yeah.
Happy Shops, Gloomhaven.
Mental.
So, yeah, I think they're an offshoot of the people that did Scythe because they did so poorly in delivery the UK, well, the European Scythe out. They got such a bad name, they had to rename themselves. I might be completely wrong with that, but...
oh, really?
But, yeah. So,
well, like I said, I had like three that were really good, and then it was just the 878 Vikings was a touch slow and not that great, and then the... And then the Gloomhaven was just a bit of a mess, really. But, you know, justice for the 400. So.
Justice for the 400. You finally got it. That's a good thing.
I did, yeah.
Cool.
That's good. I haven't been back on the comments yet to see if people have calmed down. And you do wonder if some people sort of come back and go, I'd just like to apologise. I got a bit too excited and I've clearly got far too aggressive on this online platform for a board game. I've never seen anyone do that, but...
No, they usually just hide away, don't they?
Yeah.
So, have you both got Netflix?
I do.
No.
Have you seen the new Netflix original film called The Foreigner?
No. What is that?
It must be a British film, but it stars Jackie Chan. And it's good.
Yeah, I've heard he's pretty good. Yeah, it does ring a bell now. I've heard he was really good in it.
Yeah, he was. It was really awesome. I mean, it caught me unawares because I thought it was going to be an American film, but it's British, and you can tell it's British. But it's basically a father after revenge, and Jackie Chan's like the father after revenge. It's just awesome because it seems really natural. The fight sequences and what he has to do seems quite natural. Not flamboyant.
Does anybody get taken?
No.
Taken.
Basically.
Rush Hour.
Father asked for a
bit. His daughter and his only person left in his family gets killed in a bomb set off by Northern Ireland rebellious people. He wants the names so he can exact his revenge on who did it. And Pierce Brosnan is another main character in it, who's like the Irish Prime Minister, I think. And so Jackie Chan's going after him because he thinks he knows who the bombers are. And it's just brilliant. It's like awesome.
Is it like proper? Is it just like Jackie Chan stuff? Tends to be quite lightweight. Is it kind of a little bit more mature theming?
It is more, I mean, there's some gross, it's not over exaggerated. Like I said, it's quite natural, like looks like proper fighting and he takes a beating at points and, he shows, I don't know how old he is now, but he's playing quite an old person. And at first he's really playing it down, like how kind of he just makes out kind of be a weak old person. They just underestimate him as usual. And you just know because it's Jackie Chan, he's just going to kick ass and not take any names. Well, he wants names, doesn't he? But, Well, he's kicking ass.
He's not going to write them down. he's just going to remember them.
He's taking names,
but he's not going to write them down.
Hi, Joe in the editing booth here, and I just realised it's set in the Republic of Ireland, not Northern Ireland. Do apologise for the mistake.
But it's really clever as well what he does in it. So, check it out, The Foreigner on Netflix. So I was quite surprised it turned up on Netflix because I'm pretty sure I saw it advertised in the movies, watching a film or something like that. So,
I went to watch The Last Jedi the other day, and Bright by which is I think it's Netflix.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna be Netflix. At the end of the month. And that's straight to Netflix, and that was being trailed in front of Last Jedi.
Yeah,
so it's interesting.
Big budgets now, haven't they?
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, but they're also kind of giving directors like complete freedom to do whatever they like as well, which is quite interesting, really.
Yeah, because there's all the talk about the sports rights as well, isn't there? I think there's some rugby and football premiership contracts out to tender, and obviously BT Sport and Sky have kind of monopolised it recently. But there was something on the in the news where they're sort of there's a lot of the Amazon and Netflix are looking at getting the rights to show live sports as well. So they're becoming like, you know, channels in themselves, aren't they? Which is quite interesting.
Mm. Well, Apple are doing it as well. Apple were one of the ones that are going to potentially pitch for football. And I saw today that they'd announced that Ron Moore, the guy that made Battlestar Galactica, he's been picked to do a new first party series for Apple as well. So that'll be their first original series on Apple TV.
Oh, wow.
So they're jumping in as well, which is interesting.
Nice.
Yeah,
another subscription we're going to need to get.
That's the trouble. And what is it? Disney's planning of having their own streaming service as well.
They've just bought Sky, haven't they? Disney have just bought Sky.
They bought Fox.
Murdoch.
Yeah, and that means that they're a 40% owner.
And the Sky package.
Yeah, but they're 40. They own 40% of Hulu, which is bigger in America than it is here, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's meant to be. They're looking at rebadging that to be. Their subscription channel Disney as well. Which I think over here Hulu is Tesco, isn't it? I think you can get Hulu through Tesco. Certainly used to be able to, I think.
I don't know. I don't think we could
get
Hulu.
What is Hulu?
It's just another one of those kind of like Netflix light type services.
Tesco did a pad, like an iPad equivalent called the Hoodle. Is that the same? Or the Huddle?
No, Huddle.
What are you thinking of? No. Huddle, that was it. Maybe that's why I'm getting confused. Anyway, I've suddenly realised that Mike is currently sitting, listening to this, going, they're not talking about games again. They've gone off topic.
I thought you were about to say Mike's in your lounge, like, glaring at you then.
he probably is. He's in his lounge, currently glaring at his iPod, going, I told them to stick to games.
I think Mike's the only one that says that. Other people like what we talk about.
Before we did preface it at the minute that anything goes today. It's kind of whatever takes off fancy a little bit. Yeah, it's exactly. Christmas.
Tune in for the next episode, Mike. You'll be all right with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all about games.
Yeah.
So. Trying to think what's the latest stuff. I mean, Megan's just been watching The Crown, which doesn't interest me at all.
Actually, I watched that. Claire does it to me all the time. She starts watching these timepieces, and then I start watching it. Then I get involved, and it's like, oh, now I need to carry on watching. Right. So, yeah, The Crown was pretty good, actually. I was quite interested in watching that.
Yeah, I'm desperately trying to get back into Discovery, Star Trek Discovery. That is, Megan sort of gave up on it, so I've got a couple episodes left of the current series. I just haven't got a chance to get to them yet.
I can't wait for them.
Is that Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I got Amazon Prime, and then people keep saying, oh, have you got Netflix? I reply with, no, I have Amazon Prime. And they go, well, I've got both. I was like, both? Yeah,
I've got both as well.
I've got both. You've got to have both.
You're crazy. Chain.
It's a double barrel now. You've got to go for it.
Well, I think I might have to. Because what's the other one that everyone bangs on about on Netflix?
Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. You've got to get on that.
And Glow. Have you watched that? Sam Glow?
I got about 5 or 6 episodes in and gave up. I just couldn't be bothered. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, the main character really annoys me.
On Amazon Prime, there's the new series of Vikings, so...
Oh, has that started yet?
Yeah, we're about 4 episodes in.
I better tell the missus. Should be well happy.
Might be 5 episodes in now.
I've given up after Ragnar happened or ceased happening. Then that was... Because his sons just do my tits in, man.
Oh, yeah, his kids are... But they're supposed to be annoying.
Yeah, I suppose at least one of them... At the end of the last series, I think one of them bought it. So,
yeah.
So maybe exactly. I should watch it. But
sounds like a load of spoilers.
Yeah, the only decent one. The only decent one is
spoiler warning.
Bjorn's all right, like his first kid.
Yeah. Bjorn's pretty cool. I don't know. Megan will definitely watch it. She's addicted to it. So I'll let her know that. Have you watched on Amazon? Have you watched? There's two shows that are must watches for me. One is Black Sails.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. and
every single episode multiple times. So good.
It is a brilliant show.
So good. And the worst thing about it is it's over and it can never come back.
Yeah.
Because of how they set it up.
Yeah, exactly. But I love the blend of it was like real history blended with the Treasure Island mystique. So it's kind of, but I love the way that they kind of said, this is how Treasure Island could have happened in real life, given real history.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And
then,
have you seen Man in the High Castle?
Yeah.
Oh, so I watched the whole first series, loved it. And then we watched, the second series came out and we watched about two episodes and we just lost it. Like we were like addicted to the first series. And then the second series just could not get into it. It was,
oh wow.
I think it was when they started sort of, I think it's when you met the Man in the High Castle. So that's when it was,
right. Well, lost its mystique anymore, a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think that what happened in that, at the end of that series though, was pretty awesome. So I'd urge you to keep going because I can't wait for the third series now.
And maybe I'll get my wife back into it.
I mean, most people I've said that have tried to watch it have said they watched one episode, like watched the pilot and then went, don't get it, and then didn't go back to it. I did exactly the same thing. I knew roughly what the story was about because of the Philip K. Dick book, but I didn't. I watched the first episode and was like, yeah, I'll come back to that another time. And then after I got through two or three episodes, I was like absolutely hooked on it. So it's interesting to hear that someone got halfway through the second series and went, nah.
It's funny, I knew about it because my brother asked me to get the book for him for like a Christmas present. And then I saw it was coming on Amazon. I might just watch it instead of reading the book. And I didn't realise the book is about a book and the programmes are about films, if you say. It's kind of the meta thing behind it. So that's quite clever.
Okay. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. But you have to be really careful with all these series and these box sets, don't you? Because as my wife likes to constantly quote at me, there was a sort of a poll, and more people said they'd be annoyed with their partner if they watched ahead in a box set than if they were sending flirty text messages to another.
Oh, that's brilliant.
My wife quotes that at me, so I keep going, well, can I send some flirty text messages then?
Have you seen American Gods on?
Oh, American Gods is cool. Yeah,
my wife didn't get it. She just lost the plot and she was constantly going, what's going on? I said, I don't really know, but I'm just watching.
Yeah. Megan did exactly the same. It was like two episodes in, was like, nah, you watch that on your own.
Yeah, I finished it off on my own. Yeah.
That's the dream though. When you get those ones, you can watch them whenever you want.
I know.
It's amazing. You can stay up late and just carry on watching when they're like, oh no, I'm too tired for one more. Like, yes.
The downside is though, when you're watching those things through your Xbox and you got the wife goes to bed early and you think, oh, one episode of that, or shall I put Star Wars Battlefront on? And then you fall well behind on your TV watching. So
yeah, I don't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, I miss those days of computer games.
Yeah, I keep thinking about it, but then I go and put my old Xbox on, and then I just sit there going, "What do I play? I can't be arsed. I really can't be arsed with it anymore." So
I kind of do both. I'll kind of start watching something on telly, and go, "I'm bored of that. Put the game on." 20 minutes, bored of that. Go back to the TV, bored of that. Oh, go to bed.
I mean, I could...
I was going to say, like, I don't know if it's just I've got older, but I really feel like the modern computer games just don't seem to have that same sort of life and soul that, like, computer games had, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Like, they're like, just, like truly revolutionary, like, amazing sort of story. Lines like I remember Half-Life when it came out, and it was so cool that, like, the first person shooter, and it was the way that you were kind of always in control. There wasn't like any cutscenes. It was kind of, you could watch things through doorways and things like that, but you could easily miss bits. So there's bits all around the place, like these little things that are happening and really sort of sucked you in and made you feel like you were kind of part of the game, whereas now it just seems to be all about the graphics and the gameplay seems to massively, massively taken a hit. Is what I've kind of found when I've played.
I think they're still there. I think the problem is there's so much more choice now. So I always think the same thing. I think, you know, what about those heady days when you'd spend all day playing video games? The trouble is we've all got more things on our mind. You know, we've got so much more to do now.
That's what I said. Yeah, I don't know if it's just me getting older, but they just don't seem to have that same. Wow.
I mean, I've played hours and hours, hundreds of hours of of Battlefront, which I just love, which is basically just me running around shooting stuff, which is great fun because you're a stormtrooper or a rebel and it's great fun. But the in terms of like single player stuff, the you know the Assassin's Creed games are great for that kind of stuff. The Mass Effect games I absolutely adore, and I think that's the I think they're still there. And there's even more ones. You know, PS4, I think they've got things like what they called Uncharted series and stuff like that. I think all those kinds of things are still there. It's just we're just so distracted by everything. It's like I'll sit and watch TV show and I'll be like still on my phone, like checking Facebook, or you know, it's just like I slap very myself silly sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's half of it.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, I did
come back.
He's
Sam,
gone. His ball. Back. His ball mic rolled off again.
Yeah, it did. I just holding it.
I get. We can tell because it gets slowly, steadily further away as it rolls across the desk. So it sounds like you're disappearing down a hole.
I start turning on. Well, actually, I still play a bit of Prison Architect or RimWorld, and I sit there and it sucks hours away. And then I just look back and say, I've wasted 4 hours of my life just trying to build up a cave or build something. And I was like, I could have been doing other stuff more productively, and I just feel guilty, and I think that's the same when I go, like when I was at yours, Sam, and was it just the beta playable of Battlefront 2, or was that the actual game you had? Sam gone.
He's gone.
He's gone, isn't he? I was at his house. I think we were going somewhere, and he just got it, so I started playing it. I was just playing along like the first little bit, and then I was like, it's boring. Just not enthralled, and just wanted to, I don't know, wanted to get into something more to it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I've been finding with like the few modern games I tried. Like what was I can't remember the name of it now. Oh, Uncharted. I think I got the new Uncharted when I got my new PlayStation 3, and I started playing it, but after a while, like, I mean, that was quite cinematic and quite cool, and it kind of feels like you're kind of, you know, kind of in a film, but you're kind of just playing the character, and that was quite cool for a while, but it felt very repetitive, and I couldn't quite get into it. But I was just thinking then, and I was just thinking, like when you talked about like spending hours, like, you know, losing hours to what was a tiny little thing. I can remember. Do you remember the Total War series?
Yeah,
there was Rome Total War. I think I must have played. I lost weeks of my life to that game.
Yeah,
and it's just absolutely amazing. Like, literally, you spent hours just trying to take this one city. But you've got to make sure you got all the armies in the right place because of that game as well. Because it was, you had to play on super hard. It was too easy because they all used to run away. you'd be spoiling for a big battle, and literally, like, the two lines would meet, and then they'd just run away. It's like, well, I don't feel like I've really tested my mettle really here. So you had to play on super hard. So you spent hours like literally making everything all perfect. And on super hard, they didn't seem to make the AI particularly better. They just made it so that everyone was twice as rich and had twice as more men as you. So it's just you had to really think it through. And I'd spent literally hours like upgrading my cities and putting the best armies together. And then the best thing about it was it had all that strategy, like Civ, and then you went into the battles and you actually commanded all your units. And it was just, that game was brilliant.
What was the other one I used to play? A lot of Football Manager.
Oh, yeah. What was that? Championship Manager.
Championship Manager, that's it. Yeah. I used to play. Look, my brother got me into that.
I got Swansea City to the Champions League trophy. Yeah, pleased with that.
It's always frustrating because like you find a really good player, and like just random player. And I always remember the name of like the surname was Fortune or something like that. And he was really good, and I picked him up, and like he was like top goal scorer, and helped me out get through the cups, and played a game again, and like go and find him, found him, got him. It was shit.
It's just like rubbish.
What is going on here? Kind of thing. Yeah. So.
Oh, and I've just realised my claim to getting Swansea to the Champions League like final sounds like, oh well, that shouldn't be too hard. But I'd like to point out that because now I forget that Swansea now in the Premiership, aren't they? But yeah. back in the day when I was doing this, they were like second division. So yeah. I literally played weeks of this game, like getting them up slowly through all the leagues, like developing my team, like with each league getting slightly better players. And then one of the most annoying thing about that game was, no matter how well you did, like your like chairman would never like increase your like wage budget. So it was like really, really hard if you took someone up from like the second division. Because even in the Premiership, they were like, no, you can only pay them 50p a week. And you're like, no. I've just got this amazing signing. It's a free transfer. He's going to be amazing. I need him. Yeah. Like, I'm afraid you can't afford him. It's like, I can. I just won the Champions League.
Oh, yeah. The good old days. You back, Sam?
I am. I'm here. I have nothing to contribute because I only ever got Exeter City promoted by one division, so I couldn't.
Well, that's an achievement in itself. It's better than real life.
Yeah. Dear. I was chatting to you saying, oh, I was at your house and I was playing Battlefront. Was it the beta or was it the actual game when I was playing it?
Oh, that was the it was a 10-hour demo, 10-hour like preview. But yeah. I'm not massively. I don't like it as much as the first one, I have to say. I think I've wasted 40 quid there, but
I mean,
I'm still playing it.
The graphics on like the new PlayStation and Xbox are amazing, kind of thing, compared to like looking at the 360, and it's just like, wow, that's like so dated now. But yeah, it's like so sharp, so much sharp. It's like you can't spot you need a different eyesight now to spot the people in the background and know what you're shooting at.
I'm crap at it.
When I was around, and I think we were waiting to go to Tuesday night, gaming night, and I was playing Battlefront 1 in your place, and I ruined your kill-death ratio. And it was just like, I've either lost the sight of playing first-person shooters multiplayer, or I'm just not used to now the graphics and how it plays, because I couldn't spot anyone to save my life, really. It was just
I think there's also there's the issue of the response lag, isn't there, on TVs now, where you're playing multiplayer. If someone's got like a that much better a TV, that much quicker a set, they'll be that little bit, you know, those few extra microseconds ahead of you.
Yeah.
So they'll run into view and see you and shoot you before you even know they're there. And I like to think that's a good excuse for how crap I am. Because I honestly can't see where I'm being shot from half the time.
No,
and I'd like to think that's what it is. So I've actually sat here in my office, come second bedroom. I've got my 55-inch Samsung 4K TV in a box, waiting for the extension to be built, and I can't wait to plug it into an Xbox.
So is all that to do with the TV and stuff you've got? I thought it was all to do with ping and lag, or it was in my day. I can remember playing Counter-Strike, and it used to always be about the lag. Like, if somebody would be doing really well, but it's because they're the one hosting, and so everyone else is like 2 seconds behind them. And then sometimes they still get killed, and it's like, how bad are you?
I think that was mainly because of the when you're on sort of really crappy dial-up, not dial-up, ADSL, you know, so you've got like 500 kilobytes of data or whatever, but... Now, if you assume you're on minimum of 6 meg, then you should be fine on the lag front. I think the
is it all right now? Is it?
Yeah, I think. Well, it's not all right. I think if you're out like at my folks' farm or something, you're probably going to still be crap. Whereas most people are sort of on that on the super fast sort of style stuff, at least anyway. Minimum of 5-6 meg.
Even a few years ago when I was playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, I used to blame it on the lag. So
I think everyone blames it on the lag. I did hear like some people, they would get like big fancy TVs, but they'd turn the graphics down, that you could turn it all down on the TV so you got better response on
it. Yeah, a lot of the TVs now have like gamer modes where it basically disables things like the motion smoothing and all that kind of stuff, so that it basically stops the processors of the TV from... trying to overcompensate for stuff that's not necessary, and that improves the response time of the TV. I.e., it takes the response time from the data coming in to being displayed on screen, and you're only talking milliseconds.
Right.
But obviously, if you're running around at high speed, then those milliseconds can make a difference. If it's only one or two,
God, if you've got to be doing that, then you've got to be asking yourself: should you really be playing the game?
Exactly.
Come on, chill out. Yeah. It's like, oh, justice for the 400, justice for the 2 milliseconds. Like,
just to be clear, I did buy the TV for
a little bit.
Yeah, just to be clear, I did buy the new TV for Blue Planet 2, which is now finished.
Yes. Oh, it's so good. So good, Blue Planet 2. Very much enjoyed that. Well, I don't even like fish.
What's it? The real-time strategy game set in space. What's that one called? It's on the PC.
You talking about StarCraft?
StarCraft, yeah. When you know, in like the Koreans, they're all up to like how many clicks they can do a second, kind of thing. Yes. When they do the tournaments and they go and do the real tournaments in house, they're all given the same monitors and the same computers. They're allowed to bring their own keyboard and mouse and that, but it's all set up for them and it's all set to the same standard. They'd be like, wow, I've never seen a game look like this so good, kind of thing, because they've always turned the graphics down. And
turn it right down.
Wow, I didn't realise it looked like that when you have it at full.
Oh, that's funny, isn't it? Right, should we talk about games before Michael has an aneurysm?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Go on, what do you want to say then, Lewis? What you got to talk?
Well, I was going to say, can we go through our awards? We've got quite a few to get through, haven't we?
Oh,
that's
right.
The next show.
That's for the next show. That's the
That's the next show.
Yeah.
Oh, so what show is this?
This is the Christmas show. This is just talk about anything.
This is your like pub ramble.
This is coming out at Christmas Day, and then the new show's coming out on Christmas New Year's Day.
Oh, right. Okay. I mean, I don't know anything about this show, that show with the awards that's going to be coming out after Christmas. That we're definitely going to be recording.
Broken the fourth wall of the podcast.
Yeah, I have. Oh, Brecht would be proud.
All right. So we both, is it each pick a game to talk about that we played recently and we'll close up and get on with the awards?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Yeah. You go first, Lewis. You go first.
Oh, gosh, you put me on the spot. A game that I've played recently. Okay, so just anything.
Yeah.
So I've been playing a lot of Bonk, which is the kind of wooden sort of dexterity sort of slash party type game that was the sequel to not different designer but brought out by the same company who made Clask. And I think we talked about it quite a bit on the Essen podcast. But I've actually, since I've been getting it home, I've used it in many different sort of fashions. I've been playing it with pensioners. I've been playing it with kids. I've been playing it. Took it to sort of like a big house party, and people were loving it and playing it. And you got your four kind of, it's just kind of two teams, two versus two, and you've got like a big wooden kind of table in front of you, and you have to sort of roll these little metal ball bearings down these little ramps and sort of from your area and sort of hit this other wooden ball into the other team's goal. And it's a bit frantic, but actually if you play a few games with the same people get quite good, and rallies can last a good few minutes, there's some quite cracking shots that come out, and then someone will pull off some ridiculous move, and there's been a lot of fun with that. Actually, that's been really quite good. Have you got it out at all, Joel?
Yeah, we played it recently, actually. The fact me and the family just say, right, we'll turn TV off, we're going to play a game now, kind of thing. And it was like one of the kids have been eyeing it up because it's a big box thing, so they said, let's give this a try then. So yeah, it went down well with them. They enjoyed it. Isaac, being the youngest, struggled a bit trying to get the concept of trying to aim at the wooden ball with the metal balls, but
My mother-in-law had that same problem.
It's age thing, isn't it? it went down well. They enjoyed it, and we did have to stop it after a while because I was getting a bit frustrated. But so yeah, that's about the only time it has come out.
I've had it out absolutely loads. It's gone down really, really well, actually. Mm. All sorts of events. I don't know, have you seen it at all, Sam? Do you know what we're talking about?
Yeah, it was on my anticipated list for Essen. So if I'd gone, I was going to try and pick it up.
Because you know we got it for free.
I did, and I was going to say if you tweeted it up that was what was going on, I was going to say tell you to go back to the stand and say if I put it on black marker on my head for 2 days, would you get another one? But. No, it was was pretty good, wasn't it? I mean, you say they gave away quite a lot of those.
Yeah, I think
there's about 10, 15 at least, wasn't there?
Shot themselves in the foot a bit with that, but
Well, I don't think he was annoyed. He wasn't so annoyed about how many he gave away, because it was, you know, quite cheap advertising.
Yeah.
You know, that scheme of things. He was more annoyed about not having a way of knowing who had done it or not.
Yeah.
They'd essentially sold out, but they were obliged to keep back all these copies of people who had these things on their heads. And so, because they didn't know who would come back, they had to keep the copies that they couldn't sell. And obviously, you know, less than half of the people who put the things on their heads actually sort of kept them on there for 2 days. So essentially he was left with, you know, 20 odd copies that he could have sold.
Nah.
I think that was why he was annoyed.
Yeah, definitely.
They probably got a lot of business from just people wandering around with bonk on their heads and everyone going, what's that? Like,
well, yeah. You know.
Amount of times people stopped us saying, what are you doing at that kind of thing?
Why does she look so ridiculous?
Just ruined all the photos I took of us at Essen. Then it was just like big bonk on all three of us. It's like, right.
Yeah, I know. Every photo just has a bloody bonk on our head.
I was like, I've got a nice one on Mike because I've got the iPhone 8 Plus. So I was like, got a nice one in the aperture mode. But it's got bonk right in his middle of his forehead. And it's just like, great. I need to know someone that does Photoshop just to get
scribble it off.
But
what's the other thing? Oh, the other thing is I've been playing quite a bit of Riff Raff, which is that Zog?
Oh yeah, Zogspiel.
Zog. That's it. Who released that? So I picked. I think it's about 45 quid game, and I picked that up at a secondhand shop at Essen, one of the stalls, for €15. I think it was.
Oh yeah.
But it was missing two pieces. When I got back, I just emailed Zoc and said, "Oh, look, I've picked up this with two pieces. Can I buy these two pieces off you?" And they just emailed back going, "No, don't worry about it. I'm for free." And just sent me the pieces, so basically got the full game there for €15, and I thought it was going to cost me a bit to replace those pieces, but it all turned out well, and I've played that quite a few times, and people enjoy that.
Yeah, it's good. Good fun. Little game. What you got, Sam?
Been playing as much Clank as I can manage because I'd realised that I was one play of normal Clank away from completing 10 plays for the year, one play of Clank in Space away from 5.
Wow.
So I managed to play both of those in the last week, which is awesome. So I've had Clank in Space 5 times this year and Clank 10 times now this year. So I'm delighted to have got those chalked off. But we go on about Clank all the time, so we probably shouldn't spend too much time talking about Clank. But the one thing I will say is that even after 10 plays this year, I'm still utterly in love with Clank. I still think it's an evergreen for me now. I'm as eager to play it now as I was the first time I got it. So I'm delighted to see that it was well worth picking both that and In Space up. So very good. But the main one that's more interesting to talk about is a game called Agra from Quinid Games. I think it was an Essen release.
Yes, it was.
And Joe and Rich Belcher, they bought it and brought it round to my place on Saturday, and we had a go of that, and yeah, it was surprisingly good actually. I'd heard,
cool. I thought it'd be too heavy for you.
Yeah, no, it wasn't at all. Really, I mean, it was probably heavier than I would have instinctively gone, oh yeah, I want to play that. But actually, it was a potential candidate for one of our categories in the New Year's show, but. It is heavy, but it's not heavy enough that it would bother me too much, because basically all you're really doing is it feels like, I'm trying to think of another game that's a bit like it, but it's essentially a resource management game with a little bit of worker placement mixed in. So all you're really doing is placing a dude to get some stuff, placing another dude to convert some stuff, placing another dude to sell or trade or whatever that stuff to get points. That's kind of what you're doing. So it's basically converting one to another. So it's, you know, it's almost like an advanced Istanbul in a way, in the sense that you're getting this stuff to then go to another place to then give that stuff to this person to get that stuff, you know? So it was interesting. It takes up a shed load of space on the table. It's got a really cool 3D kind of trade board thing. So all the pieces are kind of got these kind of slight, almost like a 45, so like a 30 degree angle cut into them, so they can stack on top of this this kind of 3D kind of board thing that they've got. The one complaint everyone seems to have, and I think it's valid, is that the board is really unclear as to where spaces are on the board. It's just like a kind of, the artwork's so intricate that the graphic design right. doesn't then stand out to sort of point out where you can go on the board. But anyway, I'm racing ahead here. Agra, right, is kind of an Indian themed game where you are trying to please Akbar the Great, third ruler of India's Mughal dynasty. And what you're trying to do is basically get your sort of tradesmen or whatever trying to get influence in his court by sort of becoming successful traders and giving him goods and fulfilling trade contracts and so on and so forth. And all you're really doing is you've got 10 workers, and the kind of nice thing about it is every player's got, say, 10 workers. You place a worker down, and it's got like a bumping mechanic that you've seen in some worker placement games where, you know, you can go to a space, but you can kick the other person back to their hand so they can then place them the next turn without having to do any recalling or anything. So that's the kind of vibe that's going on with this. But every time you go to a space that someone has already occupied, they get a kickback for it. So you can go to an empty space and take the action. Nothing happens. You just get what you're given. But if you want to go to the same space as I'm on, say. So let's say I'm on the space that gives you sandstone, which you can use to build building materials. You kick my guy back to me. I get to place him again the next time, but I also get what's called a favor token, which I can collect up and spend to get extra actions if I want to at any point during my turn. So the idea is you're getting sandstone or cotton or turmeric or, I can't remember what the other one is, wood, just wood. And you can then convert them into, I think it's cement and... or was it cement or planks of wood, cloth or oil or whatever. You can convert all these things, and then those things can be used to then fulfill these contracts that are available to all players. When they're gone kind of jobs.
I've struggled with that mechanic recently, the whole kickback kind of mechanic when, you know, kind of you give people back that kind of, it's basically give them a whole extra go or a whole extra action. And I just find that sometimes it can really imbalance games, especially if you're playing with some, you know, less experienced players, which a lot of time I do play with. They don't seem to appreciate the kind of the importance, and actually, no, grabbing that little thing for yourself now is probably not the same or not worth giving that kind of that person a whole extra action. I played a few games of that recently, and I've just been thinking, like, that kind of kickback thing kind of annoys me a little bit, and it can be quite king making.
Yeah, it does kind also, of happen in this one a little bit. I know what you mean, but in this one it's not too bad, because when you sort of kick a worker back, you only get one favor token, and you need at least two to get any one good. You need three to get anything of any real value, and you can actually get them in other ways in the game, so so it's not like it's
You still get the action back, do you? Or
yeah, well, essentially the favor. So you basically the action. What you're going to do is the main action is to place your worker on the board and do something. You can do that once per turn, but at any point in your turn, you could spend your favor tokens to take an extra bonus action from a set of three. So you couldn't do like place a worker twice or anything. So it's not that powerful, but you could spend favor tokens to get just one good of any one type from the first level of goods.
Yeah.
Or you could spend three tokens to advance one or convert one basic resource to another, or one resource to the next level. So you could convert your cotton to cloth or whatever. And again, so one at a time isn't particularly great, but it might just be enough to get you over the line when you're trying to fulfill an order or something. You think, I can do that and convert this stuff to this, but I'm still going to be short of this one. Oh, but I could spend my favor tokens to just do that one that I need. You know, so it's almost it's not like too powerful a move, but it's a very useful move to be able to have. So it does work. And there's another way that you can do it as well. I mean, in my game with Rich and Joe, they knew what they were doing. I still came second out of the three of us, which I was quite pleased with. And I thought I might have just tweaked a win, but Rich kind of, he knew the game just that little bit better than me and managed to squeeze it. But there's another thing where you can go up, you've got on your little player board, you've got like a meditation track where you can go to one of the sort of four main sort of action spaces at the top of the board. There's these four different people. So the architect who allows you to build a building, there's the trader that allows you to up the value of a particular good. I can't remember what the boatman, which allows you to fulfill a contract. And then I can't remember what the gardener, it's not a gardener, horticulturalist, whatever it is, someone who's in a garden basically. And you go there and you can up your meditation track. And on the meditation track, you sort of spend a good, you move your meditation thing up. And what you can do is you can knock your dudes over on the board. So you can lay down two workers anywhere on the board. They're standing up normally. And that means you can then take the meditation actions that are available. So let's say I've knocked over two, that might be worth 3 points. I can spend 3 points of meditation, which would be things like moving one of my, I haven't explained half the game, so it won't make much sense, but you've got these little farmers on your board and you can move them around, which defines basically how much basic resources you can get when you place a worker on the basic resource spaces. So you could affect how that happens. You could convert a resource to another type of resource, that kind of thing. So it's another way of being able to manipulate the resources that you have available to you at any one time. So you can focus on doing that. And there's five possible upgrades for your meditation track. And Richard managed to do his all the way up to number five, which basically meant he got five victory points at the end of the game, which basically meant he won the game. But it feels, like I said, it's like Istanbul Advanced in the sense that you're essentially racing to try and get to these different things. It's not like a victory point race, but I was racing to get to the top of the influence track for Akbar, but it basically just means I've fulfilled enough contracts of a certain color to get my piece to the top of the track and end the game, thinking that I'd maybe got enough money that I might have just won the game. Whereas I didn't, unfortunately, but a turn before and I probably would have managed it. Or you're racing to sort of get the contracts filled up so that the boat moves a certain number of places and ends the game and that kind of stuff. I've done a pig's ear of explaining how that game plays, but I've heard some sort of negative type comments that it's not a bit interesting. Whatever, it is a bit of a pasted on theme to some degree, but it is a very attractive game to look at. And it does actually all make sense when you start playing it. I mean, it is a heavy-ish feeling game, but it's not as heavy as a lot of games that I've played. I think looking at BGG, it's rated 4.36 out of 5 for weight, and I don't think it's necessarily that heavy. I think there's a lot that classes it as heavy, but I don't think it's as heavy as that. I think it's a little bit.
Is it as heavy as Terra Mystica?
I would say not. No.
Okay.
Personally, whether that's just because of familiarity with this type of mechanic or not, I don't know. I mean, I struggled with Terra Mystica mainly because of the races, the asymmetry to some degree. This doesn't have any asymmetry at all. So it's all, everyone's the same and you just follow different divergent strategies. Whereas I think that's where Terra Mystica, I don't really enjoy Terra Mystica because I know that if I don't play it 8-10 times and with 4 or 5 different races, I'm never going to be able to compete with anybody that knows how to play it. Whereas with this one, it does feel like, oh, I've played it once. I think I can probably compete the next time now. It's good.
I think it's like a lot of games. I think like if you play against someone who's played it lots of times before, then it's going to be very tricky to compete in your first couple of times. I think Terra Mystica is pretty good on the whole.
I think when I played it that once, it's like I could see why people like it, but I know I don't want to invest any more time in getting to the level where I could compete with people.
Because
it didn't have the element where I could sneak through in any way as a less experienced player. And to be fair, the same is true with this one. To be fair, is like there's no way I would have probably won that game unless Richard and Joe weren't paying any attention and let me win pretty much. But I thought I did. Even then, I did do pretty well, and I think Richard was just a tiny bit worried that I might just win. so you know, I think it was a bit more level pegging than a lot of other games like Terra Mystica. So, but no, I would say it's definitely for those who like a slightly more deeper strategy game.
Yeah.
You know, if you like Istanbul, I think, and you but you want something that really does to sink your teeth into for longer than 45 minutes, then you probably quite like this. That would be my guess.
Very interesting.
Is Joel there?
What? I am still here, yeah. Completely lost in what you were talking about, but anyway, sounds good. Wonderful, Sam. Glad you enjoyed it.
What have you been playing then, Joel?
Just recently, like the usual rule, you should never go to Meeple's Corner shop because you always come out with more than you expect. I walked out with a copy of the new Small World. Don't move, Spider. You're scaring the shit out of me. I've got a spider in the corner of the room, and it keeps moving.
Oh, I thought that was a funny name for a Small World expansion.
Small World expansion called Sky Islands. So it's an add-on board, and which is quite nice because the last expansion was River World, and it only just came with a new board and a new way of playing. This actually introduces new races and powers, which are quite nice. I got to play that out on Friday night. And yeah, it added more. It just adds this new element that you can now get up to these Sky Islands, which is more land to get on. And sorry, Sam put me off.
My fault.
So yeah, you get onto these Sky Islands, which is just the same as normal land. But if you conquer a whole island, which is about 2, 3, 4 segments, you get an extra point, extra victory point in doing that. So it kind of gives that new thing. There's only two ways onto the island. And you've got to get onto the land that has like the Stairway to Heaven or the Beanstalk to get up there, which is nice little themes to it. And then there's new races, which just are weird and wacky and wonderful, and I can't remember. We did play some of them. They all just get mixed in with every expansion I've got so far, which is accumulating.
You love that game.
Oh, it's unwieldy now, and I realised something. So I like to try and keep track of like putting everything away and getting everything out and doing that. But if you do that, you're out of the game because you can't focus on what's going on with the game. And I lost badly. I was dead last, and I put it down to that because I was trying to keep stock taking everything. I'm just not concentrating what's going on, and I just missed some key advantages that I could have done. So I think next time it'd just be a case if I do play it in any kind of version, it's like once someone's done with it, chuck it in a box and then it gets sorted out later on instead of trying to put it away at the same time. I can focus on the game. But I do wish Days of Wonder will now bring out like a big tray to hold everything, because now I've got about just for the above ground, I'm not talking about underground, I've got about 4 trays that's holding everything, and trying to keep track of what's in what and where's what and what's doing what kind of thing, it's just a nightmare. And we need a tray that will fit in one of these boxes that is just races.
But the question is, what just sell a tray? I mean, That's as bad as that €20 box that they're selling, the empty box that they're selling for Scythe in Essen. It's just like, I'm going to pay €20 for an empty cardboard box. That's ridiculous.
Well, yes and no. I mean, if some people want it, some people want it. I mean, Small World fans want that kind of thing, which I would, then yeah, I would pay.
Yeah.
$15-$20 or pounds for a big tray to have all the races in one place, and all the tokens can go next to the races that they're meant for, so you've got a better organization of what's going on, and it will all fit in one nice package. So
I'm sending you a link, Joel, sending you a really good link. It's for 100 baggies from Amazon. There you go. Cost you £1.29.
Whereas I'm looking at the Small World Designer Edition on Board Game Geek and thinking, yeah, I'd quite like that. £1,300 later.
Yeah. See, now that's out of date because now we haven't got those races that they've included. in that. Mm. So
that's a bit the problem like having, with all the really special editions, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's like Ticket to Ride with the anniversary edition, but I can't play any of the expansion maps now.
Yeah, it's so nice. Those trains are so nice, and those little metal tins. But that's the thing, you can't play any of the expansions. It's just
I've had to buy a copy of Europe just so that I've got the ability to play the the expansion maps if I ever buy any. So I don't have any, so it's a pointless exercise, really, but never mind.
Yeah.
Right, I just realised I've spent all day writing a quiz for you two on games. Right. So you want to do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do pub it. Quiz on games?
Yeah.
I already don't know.
Only a few questions.
Is it fastest finger first kind of thing?
Shout your name out, and what I might do is put a sound bite over the top of your name. So
cool.
Right.
This is Sam's sound bite.
Oh, come on!
And this is Lewis.
Matron, take them away!
I can't hear anything.
No.
No, you will when we play it back.
Oh, right.
Shout your name
out. Oh, I just got it. I just got it.
Again, the fourth wall is broken.
Yeah. By me. To me. I'm there going, I'm totally involved in this. Where's my buzzer? I've got nothing in front of me to hit. I don't know.
Shouting your name out is what you... what you would say.
Right, okay.
Then
that's
I'll delete your name and put a soundbite in.
All right, but next time I want you to put a bit more effort in and have some sort of on-screen buzzer I can press.
Well, I tried, and this is what I was saying earlier. It failed on me.
That's although I don't want to get caught by any lag, though. So. Clearly mine.
Okay, so first round of the Devon Dice pub quiz is general knowledge.
General knowledge. Oh, dear.
Everyone ready?
Yeah.
Do it.
Charterstone is a newly released legacy game from Stonemaier Games. How many games does it take to complete a full game?
Matron, take them away.
I think it's 10.
Sam, do you want to guess?
I'd say 12.
Sam is on the mark with 1 point.
Oh.
12 games to complete a game. But it's not fully complete because you can play it again afterwards.
Yeah, I should have gone trick question. Technically, it's infinite.
No, but yeah, you know what I mean. So to complete full game of Charterstone.
Yeah, the campaign
is 12 games, but then you can play it again afterwards on your modelled map.
I would have known that about a week ago.
Question two. Gloomhaven.
I don't know anything about it. I've only just got mine today. This is awful. What a ridiculous quiz.
Saw a relaunch on Kickstarter for the second printing and had a massive uptake, just missing the mark of £4 million. If you were to sleeve all the cards, how many sleeves would you need to sleeve Gloomhaven?
Is this a nearest number?
Yep.
Well, you should know, Sam. You own it. Just go and count.
I've not counted. Yeah. Hang on. Just I'll come back to me in 2 hours.
You suck.
Gonna, Sam.
600.
Matron, take them away.
Lewis, what is your count?
Right. I've got to have a punt as well, have I?
Hmm.
I'll go for 601.
Right, none of you are nowhere near, so you can have a count, another guess. Let's go higher.
All right.
Higher?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Jesus. I thought I was over.
Take them away.
985.
Sam.
You're a loser.
I don't think it's that many. I'm going to say 800.
I'm going to give it to Lewis.
Oh.
Hey.
You need 1,698.
Holy!
Oh bloody hell! Gosh, that's a lot, isn't it?
There is 723.
No wonder that box is so heavy.
Yeah, 723 standard cards, 975 mini euro cards. If you were to buy sleeves from Meeple's Corner advertisement, there you will need to spend £87.50 on sleeves.
Blink me.
Bloody hell. No, I'm not doing that.
So Lewis won't be sleeving his Gloomhaven now.
No. Well, I might the action decks, because aren't they the ones that get like shuffled a lot?
Not a lot gets shuffled.
Right? You could just sleeve your action cards if you wanted to.
Yeah, the action cards, and then the little decks, aren't the little decks?
Little that... fight, the card modifiers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The modifiers, yeah.
Modifiers, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about doing those.
Yeah. Question three. Renegade Games is one of the new big publishers of modern times. To date, how many released board games do they have in their back catalogue?
Your turn to guess first.
Take them away. Go on, Lewis.
Nine.
Oh, if it's closer to, then I'm definitely going 10, but I think it's way more than that. I think it's something like 14.
Sam is correct. Yeah, well, he's closest. It's 28.
Oh my god!
I was nowhere near. Gosh, what have they made?
Oh, you look on their website.
The very first one, officially, I think, was Gravel, wasn't it? Because they were a splinter off of.
Yeah, they took one of those, but they've taken quite a lot of games that were on Kickstarter with like independent people and released those. As well, so things like the Fair Game. I can't think what it's called now.
Unfair.
No.
Oh.
Oh. World Fair 1905.
Oh, I remember that. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I remember we played that. That wasn't that great, was it?
So that was independent first on Kickstarter, and then they bought it and they've released it as their own. So they got quite a few. Seventh Continent was another game to see a second successful return to Kickstarter. From the first season...
If this is about bloody sleeves again.
No. From the first season, Stretch Goals, what was the unlocked animal you could find that would follow you around?
It's a goat.
It is the goat.
Yeah.
In a fortunate typo on one of their stretch goals, which they named the stretch goat. Backers wanted a stretch goat in their rewards.
And then actually on the second campaign, they didn't have when you scroll down their campaign page, it didn't say stretch goals, it said stretch goats.
Yeah. Yeah.
They kept the joke going.
Yeah, kept Good the work. Joke going. Yeah. Restoration Games, number five. Restoration Games is a new games company focusing on old, forgotten games and breathing new life into them.
Oh, yes.
Releasing Downforce, Stop Thief and Indulgent this year alone, what is the name of the new expansion coming to Downforce?
Ooh. Oh, no, not Lewis.
Go on, Lewis. You crawled out. Come on, Lewis. Don't look it up on the internet.
I don't know. Let's go for reverse gravity.
No. I can't remember what it's called either.
Or Pit Lane? Pit Lane?
No, it's not that. It's something else. I can't remember what it's called. Yeah, I saw it earlier on and I've forgotten.
Two, one. Danger Circuit. It will include new player Pit powers. Lane's better. And two new tracks that will have actually danger tracks to it,
so
making it more complex to overtake, but allowing overtaking to happen more. After round one, we're level pegging two each.
Oh, nice. How did I get two? I don't remember that.
Round two. Who am I? So I'm going to start describing games. First one to call out to have a guess, we'll get a point.
Oh, okay. Right.
Who am
I? It's about games, not designers.
No, it's actual games. Who am I?
Joel, you're Joel.
Minus a point off Lewis.
No. Used to lay off that Spitfire.
I was born in 2008. Only consisting of cards, I was an instant hit and revolutionised a new genre. Matron,
take them away. Oh no, hang on. I've stacked it.
Go on, Lewis.
Oh, I'm torn between two now. Okay.
Three.
I'm going to go.
Two.
No, wait. No. Just give me 2 seconds. Wait, count me down. Just give me 2 seconds. What's it called? It's that deck builder set in the medieval time. What's it bloody called? It's gone from my head. What's the name of it?
Two.
Oh, shit.
Sam, do you want to come in?
Dominion.
It is Dominion.
That's mine. Give me my point back.
I can't wait for you all night.
Sniped.
The rest of it was, over the years, I was followed by 11 expansions, including one that can play on its own. Inside me, you can find a village, a temple, and a witch. My creator's first name is Donald.
For some reason, initially at first, I thought it was going to be Seven Wonders, and then I realised it was going to be Dominion, and then I couldn't remember what Dominion was called.
Next one. I was born in 2012. I have a red box with a battle happening on it. I have a main board and a lot of tiles. You can move between each city in 4 moves. I have dice, but they are not rolled. My theme is Egyptian-based, and I have a giant scorpion model.
Oh,
take
them away. Oh, it's that other one that you've got. That... Shit, I forgot his name.
I'm waiting for you. Don't worry.
Oh, no.
5.
Oh,
no. 4.
Oh, God, what's it called? 2. Oh, it's that mythical one. Oh, no, it's that
1.
Oh, I'm out. I'm
my
out.
Turn.
Yeah.
Kemet.
That's the one. That's the one.
I'm so glad you called out because I actually ran out of stuff to read.
It's not my fault I'm not good with names.
No, I'll probably be
I should be allowed the point if I can describe the game accurately.
If it happens again, I'll give you the point.
Good. Well, I've already given you 2, so.
Right.
If it happens again, next question is going to happen again.
Last one on Who Am I? I was released this year.
And
I've already reached 93 on Board Game Geek. Conceived on Kickstarter, I am the second game from this publisher. You can get miniatures for me, but they are not necessary to play the game. Based in the future, water is the most precious commodity.
Oh, God.
One of my main features is time travel.
Look, oh, no. I'm out again. Time travel. You just told me I was going to say terraforming Mars, but you just...
I should know that, and that's surely... No, I'm...
Main features is time travel.
Where I can get extra resources, but I must pay them back in future rounds.
Yeah.
You suck!
Sam, yep. Do you want to go?
Anachrony.
It is Anachrony.
I've not played that.
Technically, I've not played it either, but...
Nor me.
Are you sure it wasn't Terraforming Mars?
Pretty sure.
I don't remember the time travel bit, but all those random cars, also, I can imagine some crap like that would turn up at some point. Oh, I know you were beating me, but I've got this magic card.
Terraforming Mars was released last year, I think. Not last year. Yeah, last year.
Yeah, you're probably right. There was an expansion for it, though, so you know, it could have been that. The time travel expansion.
Right, round 4. This is the audio clip.
I did awfully.
And this is where I was hoping to play it over the line so you both hear it at the same time. So I need to boost up whatever you need to use to play this.
Well, Joel, I don't want to ruin it for you, but I mean, I can't understand a word, so I don't think there's any chance. It doesn't matter what order I hear it in.
So let's listen to game 1 sample, and it's basically a board game title being reversed.
Hang on. Where's it gone?
So I'll let you both try and listen to it.
No, I've listened to it 5 times now.
I have listened to it. I'm just listening to it now. Not a clue.
I think that's from Vikings.
Yeah. It does sound Norse.
What? Can any of you recreate it and then reverse it and see what it sounds like on the other end?
It's a longer title.
It's like it's Nasnik Gronel Tested.
It's a little rocket sun.
That's closer than I'd get.
Go on, Sam. Let's have a go.
No, I've got what? Repeat it.
Yeah.
Oh my god! Hang on, then. I've got to listen to it again because I've only.
I just told you, mate. It's Nasnik Formula Testo.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna. I'm not even gonna try. This is no pass.
Clue is.
Do I get a point?
It's an old game.
Monopoly, Catan, Settlers of Catan.
It is Settlers of Catan.
I knew it started with an S, so that's all I could get.
Wow.
Game two.
Oh, bloody
I think this actually this one's on. Actually quite easy.
Is it Norman of S?
Yeah, really easy, mate.
Is it Norman of S? Is it Norman of S?
Something of oh. Something.
Is it? Is it Seven Wonders?
It is Seven Wonders.
Oh, get on.
Wow.
Honest point scored.
He's back
yeah.
in the game.
You're coming. Yeah, it's five to Sam at the minute, four to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, he got that entire round before. We were drawing, then he got the entire round.
Yeah, he got three of them, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Game three, then.
No, Nuzis is Gil Imena. No, Nuzis is Gil Imena. No, Nuzis is Gil Imena.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God, no.
Hang on.
No, Nuzis is Gil Imena.
You going to recreate it for us, Lewis?
No, I'm out. I got it. So, guess who or something?
The clue, it's from a long line of games. It has the number in its title in its same position on Board Game Geek. So its ranking on Board Game Geek number is the same in its title.
Is it high up in the list?
Yeah.
Are you Googling it?
Is it? No. I kind of know the top 20 or so, but I can't for the life of me think what that would be.
No. No, I'm out. I can't think of any.
You suck!
And
what is it, Joel?
Is it Pandemic Legacy Season 1?
It is Pandemic.
It's the only one I can think of with a number in it in the top few.
I was going to say, I couldn't think of anyone with the number in.
Number four.
Didn't sound anything like it.
No. Oh, hang on. God damn.
I've got to play that one. Hang on. Number four. I presume this dead air is going to be overlaid.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh. No, you won't edit it, mate. You never edit it. What
have we
got here then? Oh, it's short.
Lewis, I want you to repeat that back for me.
I don't know, it's something twice. What's called twice?
Above and below?
Nope.
Oh, that would be good. That would be a good shout.
It's not actually spoken twice. It just sounds similar.
Oh, really? It's not Clank in Space?
No.
I don't know what that is then.
No, I'm out.
Game has been mentioned on this podcast several times.
Riff Raff.
Nope. Several times it's been mentioned in different ways.
Is it? I've never heard you once say Navia Mool.
I can't even think what we were talking about earlier.
I have no idea.
All right.
No, puts out of a misery, man. It's,
it's Gloomhaven.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. Game five, last one.
Thank God.
He's not enjoying this one.
Oh, gosh. What is that? It's like someone from Star Wars.
Siabs nyak.
Oh, that one.
Siabs nyak.
I need a clue.
Is that Clank in Space?
It is Clank in Space.
Oh, yeah. That's why I said the last one.
I know, and I was like, damn, he's one off.
Do you know what? And not, yeah, as I say, not just that, I realised from when you said something a bit funny there, and I was like, oh, maybe Clank in Space is there, then completely forgot about it when listening to the last one.
Here's Sam's effort.
I'm in space.
Oh dear. Right.
I was like, oh, Clank in Space is coming up. Clank in Space is coming up. Oh, it's the last one. What could this be? Idiot.
So, scores are at the minute 4 to Lewis, 7 to Sam. Last final round, and it's the Steggle question time.
Ooh.
I'm gonna call it. What animal?
The what?
This Steggles. John Steggles sent in a question. He sent this in actually months ago.
So right.
This is the £10 million question. What right. animal can you clean film to a lamppost? What's the biggest animal you can clean film to a lamppost?
What is the biggest animal you can clean? Oh, sorry. I got it. Lewis. A stag.
Why? It's just open-ended.
What? Oh, it's open-ended. Oh, I yeah. didn't joke.
No,
oh,
no.
Look, no. That happens to them a lot.
I'd like to know what the yes, good point. I like that. I like the answer. I'm just wondering what are the physical constraints? What we could physically lift, or it's do just, we have heavy lifting machinery?
It's just you and what's, a roll of clean film and a lamppost.
I was going to say, what's the tensile strength of cling film? That's what we need to know.
And it depends if it comes from Tesco or Sainsbury's yeah. or yeah, Waitrose. Yeah. Waitrose stuff is so much better than Tesco. So for cling film, clingability.
Good clingability. Yeah. Whereas the Waitrose stuff is slightly thicker.
Yeah. It's got a bit more.
Comes with a free cup of tea as well to give you strength.
Yeah, that's right. See. I'm no good with these kind of abstract joke questions because I'm not just not.
Yeah, stag was the best I could come up with. Cause
I think that was the best. I'm
it
just going to say
regularly.
Yeah, I'm just going to say blue whale because it's the biggest animal on earth.
I'm going to give it to Lewis.
Yeah, hey. That's fair.
Still losing. I've lost. Is that the end of the quiz?
That is the end of the Devon Dice pub quiz.
Good effort, though.
Well,
good
I'd
effort.
Like to point out. I'd like to point out that actually he stole two answers from me. So I'd technically, like I won by 1 point.
I'd like to think adopted.
Adopted. The trouble, Lewis. I probably would do the same thing. So, I know that. I can't get it out. I don't know. Oh.
And it's also annoying the clues that you were given when you didn't learn about the time traveling expansion to terraforming Mars. It's not my fault if you didn't know about that.
There isn't a time traveling expansion.
There is now.
He's gone back into. He's gone forward into the future to see that there will be one and come back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh dear. Well done, guys. Well,
very well done. But thanks for the quiz, Joel. That's very good. Good fun.
Yeah. Well, if everyone enjoyed that, I might do more in throughout.
Yeah, have a nicer quiz. Maybe not the backwards ones. Although we did get surprisingly more than I thought we would. We got 3 out of 5, didn't we?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, legitimate ones, yeah. Although we needed clues for 2 of those, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. If I can get the audio to work properly next time, then it might not be too bad.
I want an on-screen buzzer. Minus the lag.
Oh dear. I did have to question Lewis how he did it because he used to do it for one of his old podcasts he used to do, and I said, so how did you do the buzzer thing on your quiz shows? He goes, literally they shout their name out, I cut it and put a soundbite in. I was like, oh, that sounds like a lot of work. He goes, yes it was, never doing it again. So cool. Okay, let's wrap this show up because we've got another one to do after this. Oh, fourth wall broken again. So This has been episode 42 of the Devon Dice podcast. From all of us in the show, we'd like to thank you for listening. If you want to know more about the games, items, and everything else discussed in the show, then probably there might be show notes. I don't know. We'll see. There might be a YouTube show that you could watch if I do all that again. So check out the YouTube channel. Thank you for Meeple's Corner for sponsoring the show, and credits goes to bensound.com for some music used.
Pop along to the Facebook page Devon Dice Presents and have a chat with us on there. Or you can follow Devon at Devon Dice UK for all of our updates on Twitter. You can also find our guild on BoardGameGeek.com, Devon Dice number 2414.
Don't forget our blog and website, devondice.co.uk, and subscribe to the newsletter. I have been your host, Joel Wright, and you can find me on Twitter and BoardGameGeek as the Press Monkey.
I've been Sam Freeman. You can find me on Twitter at Spoon of Milk and BGG as El Duderino.
Lewis.
And I've been Lewis Jones, and I don't do Facebook or Twitter. What was it called? That one.
Twitter.
Twitter, yeah. Yeah.
But what are you on the geek?
Oh, I'm DocLJ86.
Join us for episode 43, the New Year's new show, coming out on the first day of the month. And we have been your hosts for Devon Dice, the podcast. Goodbye, and see you in the new show. New show.
Have a good Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Happy Merry Christmas,
y'all.
I forgot it's Christmas Day. It's Christmas Day. Let's get back to getting drunk. Should have had that at the beginning, really.
Need to include that bit.
Yeah. Well, happy Christmas, now, everyone. Yeah. Right. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, happy Christmas.
Nope, Sam's not happy.
Sam's
not happy. Oh, sorry. You expected me to do it as well. I'm like Grumpy Cat at Christmas.
Stay away from me. Right. I need to have a quick wee.